So, where are you now? If you're not, are you still in Georgia?
I'm in Alabama.
Oh.
So I grew up in Georgia and I went to Auburn, which is in Alabama, but it's like 22 minutes outside of Georgia, so it's not real deep into Alabama. And I went to school there for 5 years, and then I moved to Denver and I was a designer there. And then I always just really felt like God was calling me to be a teacher, even when I was in school. Like I just really had, I knew He was calling me, but I wasn't ready to go. Do you know what I mean? You
Yeah, I
know,
got you. I
or
got
I
you.
wasn't sure it was the time. But then I think God really closes doors and He makes it really clear if you're not if you're
If you're
not
not
doing
sure.
what He's gonna make it really clear. And so I had gotten a job at and my best friend works at this company now, but I had gotten this job at a corporate place, and it was a good move up for me as a designer.
Right.
I had worked at a startup magazine, which had done great. And I was so glad. I'm so glad oh, he's going to the bed.
He's falling asleep.
No, but if he would just
Oh,
go
he's
over there.
eventually going to
Yeah,
the seat.
literally,
His
he's
spot.
in the bed now. But anyway, so he, but I ended up I think it was 2 weeks after I started, my boss, who I still keep in touch with, she said, are you still looking for another job? And I'm like, oh my gosh, have I done something wrong so bad in the first 2 weeks that you're gonna fire me? And I was like, oh my goodness. And she's like, no, but they're going to dissolve the marketing department. And I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, like I just got this job. And so, but anyway, so it was like August, I think I got that job. And you know, like sometimes you have to take tests and do stuff.
Right.
Maybe it wasn't August that I got the anyway, but it ended up I started applying to schools and I did the GRE and oh, he's laying down.
Fall asleep.
Yes. So anyway, I did all that stuff and I got in. I worked there for 1 year and that was it. A little over a year. I think it was like May I started and I left in August to go to because I felt like God. So my sister would say, when are you going to be a professor? Like when I came back and you know, other people see it as an opportunity. Like your closest friends are like, oh my gosh, that stinks. You just got that job. But you never know, you know, like I think God just was like, this is the time. And I was able to get a full ride to grad school. And I mean, it was a miracle, I think. And so wasn't me. And so I got the full ride, went to Virginia. And I went to Virginia Commonwealth University. And then I got the first job I got was here again. God made it really clear because I had a couple interviews, but he only offered me one job. So, and then I'm down on the Gulf Coast.
Where is that exactly?
So it like where Mobile is
Okay,
right
gotcha.
on the Gulf Coast. You know, we're real close to Florida and I'm real close to Mississippi because Alabama
Gotcha.
doesn't have a very big coastline, I guess.
What's Alabama like?
It's similar to Georgia, but like Atlanta's a little bit better because you have access to a lot more things. It's a lot smaller and job-wise it's hard, I think, for people. Mobile's the second biggest city in Alabama, but it doesn't feel like that. And so it's real kind of like who do you know? And that can be
It
frustrating,
can
you
be,
know?
right.
Like, do you ever deal with that, like
Well, I
coming in
think
from
especially now, it's just feels like that's becoming like the only way in. It's
Yeah.
like who you know, who you know, who you know, and
Well, I
then
guess
who you
because
know.
we work, and I do. I think of that too, and I think that but I also think in other fields, it's not like that. Like in other, like business, they're like hungry for new people, so they're
Right.
happy to have. But in design, it is
Yeah,
very.
in the creative world, I think that's a big deal. Like, who do you know?
Well, and I think it's because you'd have to kind of expose yourself a lot. You have to. You want to be with people who you think are going to be okay and treat you good, you know?
Which is
Maybe.
true. Which just true.
Maybe, who knows?
Right, right.
For some people like Brian White, you've got to meet him too. Like, he loves Jesus, and he started this thing called Prayer for Designers. Have you heard? Do you know him?
I'm trying to picture Nate. The Prayer for Designers sounds good, but I did not know that you're a Christian, Diane. I did not. That's just...
Well, you said something about church, and then I read your profile again today, and I was like, I think he must love Jesus. And then you said you live in church, so I was like, sweet.
Yeah, like, I'm really ecstatic right now. I'm really ecstatic.
There's a ton. That was what Creative South was for me. Mm-hmm. Daryl, it was like... So I come the first year by myself, and I'm just normal, but I think, I'd talked to Mike, and Mike and I had talked, and we had prayed, his story a little bit, and I knew Peter, and I had interviewed both of them, mm-hmm. but I had no idea it was going to be the way it was. So when you come, and I don't want to like build it up and be like, that was not what my experience was, but it was so cool because Mike opens it up with prayer. I mean, what does that dying conference does that happen at? He's like, take your hat off, we're praying. And it was like, oh my goodness, Lord, I can't wait to see what you're going to do. And
that is insane.
It was, and I think there were 600 people that year. 600 people from all over. I mean, Laura and Dave Coleman came from Australia. They love Jesus. Ian Bernard, he loves Jesus. There's a whole Bible study. Did you know this? So on Sunday, you've got to sign up for this too. It's free and you get a t-shirt, or they did last year. But they like do praise music. And
what?
Last year it was 75 people came.
What?
And it's just, and somebody preaches. And so last year it was Luke Lefevre, and he works at Dave Ramsey. And then... But it's just like, it was so cool to like, it felt like my people. Like, it felt like.
Oh my goodness.
It felt like youth camp. Did you ever
go to youth camp? Yes.
It felt like youth camp, but for design. And now not everybody who spoke was a Christian, but right. Like my first year. So one of my students who is a Christian, who was about a little bit younger than me, because she went back and got a second degree. When she was working in Birmingham, and I told her about this, and I was like, Meredith, you should go. We should go together. And I was like, I'm going to be working it for Design Recharge, but it'll give us somebody to eat with and somebody to – so we ate most of our meals together, but we always sat together. Like, I don't want to miss anything. I'm like row 7 in the middle. Like, that's where I like to be. And it was like – Nathan Yoder came, and I knew he loved Jesus, and he was like preaching straight out of the Bible.
Oh my goodness.
And last year Noah Elias came, and he was so preaching it. And one of my students currently, she's a Christian, and she actually rode back with me, and I was so thankful because I was so tired. So it was nice to have somebody to talk to. Yeah. Anyway, we were texting back and forth. And now I had lots of my students who are not Christians, but I always feel like, you know what? It's just, they just need to hear. They just need, someday it's going to stick.
Yeah, they just need a seed sown.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. And so, Ashton and I were like texting back and forth, and she was like, he is preaching. I'm like, amen. He is. And it was straight like gospel. And it's just cool that Mike gives people like that an opportunity, to really, it's just the coolest. And it's because there's a ton of Christians and there's a ton of people.
And the
who
foundation
really,
too, where it all started from, that plays a big part. I actually was, because last year I knew a couple of people that went to Creative South, and I decided to meet up with them. So I was in the area last year. I met up with Aaron Dowd, Terrence.
Tang?
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, who was the first one?
Aaron Dowd.
I don't know that person.
Yeah, he does podcasts. He works, I'm pretty sure you've heard of Sean West.
Yes.
He works with Sean West. He's the podcast editor for Sean West.
Oh, cool.
So I knew him, and we decided to meet up, and eventually that meetup turned into like about six tables long of like a whole bunch of people from Creative South. Terrence was there, Kyle Adams was there, Austin was there, Austin
Is
Till.
Austin a Christian?
I don't think so.
I didn't know either.
I mean, I don't think, for the most part, I don't know if any one of them, we just all knew each other. So we just kind of met up. It wasn't really necessarily, oh, we all met up because we were all Christians. I just knew them from the online. And
Scotty Russell's a Christian. Do you know him?
yeah, I know Scotty. Scotty, I got to know him even more after Creative South because I heard about
Oh,
his
cool.
talk. I heard about his talk at Creative South. So we kind of got connected through that. So yeah. I'm hoping to see him. Yeah, we really like really that meetup, me going to meet everyone up, because I just drove up there about 2 hours away. I was just like, let me drive up, meet up everybody, and we all met up. And then after that, it kind of snowballed like a connection with everybody. And yeah, so me and Terrence, we always talking about basketball and stuff like that. So it was it's been pretty good. So I kind of got the vibe of Creative South there, and then I eventually reached out to Mike, and then they kind of went from there. So actually, me and Mike were supposed to be going on a retreat next month from his church.
Cool.
His church is having a marriage retreat, so we're going to,
Cool.
we'll be there. So that should be exciting. So yeah, it's
Well, so when did you start your podcast?
like literally not that long, towards the end of last year.
Oh, nice.
So it
I mean, but
started.
you have musicians. It's
Yeah,
not
because
just.
that's where it started. I was kind of focused because that was like kind of my sweet spot, design and music. So I was kind of connecting the two. And this year I really started branching out to more than just musicians. But that's where it kind of started, the whole what's the story behind what everyone is doing? What's the story behind it? That's
That's
kind of the
cool.
message. What's the story behind what everyone is doing? Because, you know, like people like you're doing Design Recharge, Mike is doing Creative South, he's doing all these things, but like what was the motivation? Where did this all start? What's the passion behind it? So that's where it all started.
Do you want me to tell you? Or are you? I don't know when
Yes,
we're.
but we just kind of like it, I don't know, it's just I feel like a great connection, so it kind of just started to
Okay, good. I'm
flow.
glad. I just wanted to I'm glad 'cause now, and I'm glad I get to hang out with you a little bit more, but I definitely want to introduce you to Brian White. There's also a really amazing, he has such a big heart for what God's trying to pull him to do, is Matt Wally. And I'll definitely connect you with those guys. Dustin Lee also loves Jesus. And he does Retro Supply Company. Not that I only am friends with Christians, because I am absolutely not.
No, because it's very refreshing. Make no mistake about it. It's so refreshing because that
It can.
design and the Christ love kind of comes together, and it's beautiful.
Absolutely. And it sometimes can, for a long, many, many years, I felt very alone in design and being a Christian.
Yes. I
So,
totally understand. I totally understand. Totally
yeah.
understand. 'Cause who was it? I think one of the she's doing a workshop. I think Emily. Is it Emily?
Emily Carlton loves Jesus too.
Yes. I'm familiar with Emily. Yes.
Yeah, Emily's done awesome. She's going to be on my podcast in April. I'm doing a four-part series. I'm doing my first four-part series, and I'm doing sketch noting. And everybody's a Christian except one girl. I don't know if she is or not. I just don't know her. But
Right, right.
the other, not that that was a prerequisite at all,
No,
but that's
it's
why I was
not.
like,
It's just kind of like it wasn't a prerequisite for me to ask you. I just knew of you, and I was like, okay, this is just icing on the
Right. That's how God works, though, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we just need that extra icing.
Yes. So I guess we could just get started on the
Okay.
whole backstory of Design Recharge and why did you decide to interview people?
So, Mobile is not this mecca for design. And I felt I was working a lot, and so I felt really kind of isolated and really kind of alone. And where I was teaching and I was working a lot, but I didn't have a lot of time. And there would be people in the community who would say, oh, well, let's get up. There's a bunch of creatives meet up on, you know, Tuesday night after work at this bar. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I get to school at like 7 or 6:30, or now I get to school at 6 and I work, you know, a little bit. And it's like, you know, I'm tired, and I live in almost Mississippi. So downtown to where I live is like an hour and a half. And I'm
wow.
like,
wow, yeah, that's a drive.
So I'm like, I don't think that's really going to work for me. So I ended up just trying, and I had applied at Auburn. I had applied for a position as a professor at Auburn, and I didn't even get like a thank you for applying. I didn't get an interview, didn't get a letter. I had to call them and say, hey, have you filled that position? And they were like, yes, we have. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'm alumni. I kind of felt bad at first, you know, and I was like, okay, well, Lord, I know you know what you're doing.
Right.
You know what? But clearly my package, my CV, my resume was not enough for them to want me,
mm-hmm.
even though they knew me. And then, of course, you have that back, the craziness in your or my head. I'm like, well, maybe they hated me as a student. I was they kind of
yes,
like
all kind of
maybe I was really annoying. And I know I probably was. I probably really annoyed some of my teachers because I talked a lot. But I never knew. And God actually answered that question for me because I still had that kind of like, but I was like, you know what? God, I'm going to use this to get better. I loved my school. I loved where I went to school. I loved Auburn. I loved my teachers. They put a passion for design in me. And, you know, they, like, one of my professors helped me get into VCU and, you know, wrote me a recommendation. And I didn't know if they were proud of me or not, but when they didn't even give me a letter back, I was like, you know what? I'm not blaming them. I'm blaming me. And so I said, I'm going to make me, I know what I need. I need community and I need to connect.
Right.
And so I think if I start connecting more, then I will do better. I will make better work. I will be more informed. And there happened to be this platform that I had started. I think I started watching some stuff on this platform called Spreecast on spring break. So in March of that year. And I was working a lot. So freelancing, you know, so I was teaching, but then I also have a full business.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like you, though, you know, I'm not going full freelance. I'm not quitting teaching, but it is definitely, you know, I was making, probably then I was probably making about $30,000 extra dollars a year. And that's a lot of work if you're working full time and doing whatever.
Yeah,
so I was like, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to commit to 5 years because I also really believed there was somebody I had been following, and his name is Srini Rao, and he had a podcast called – oh, poo, I can't remember what the podcast was called. But it was pretty much about why he wasted his money going to Stanford to get his MBA. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's like Ivy League, you know. I mean, California Ivy League, but super, super smart school. And you have to be super smart to get in. And he thinks he wasted his money, that he thought he could have gotten everything. And so I listened to that podcast a lot. Oops. And he said, when I decided to do a podcast, I said I was going to do it for 5 years and make a 5-year commitment. And I was like, ooh, that's a big commitment. But I was like, well, it'll only help me. I don't think it'll take too much time.
Ooh,
I don't know what I'm
right.
Or too much money. And and I was making a good enough so that I had a little bit of money to be able to afford. And it looked pretty easy. And the platform I was using was free.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like you could have 4 people on screen at once and you could have a chat of as many people. And it kind of filtered people in. And I met a lot of people that were also doing like video podcasts, and it was just terrific. It was like a really good. So I had my first unofficial design recharge in May, the end of May of 2012.
Okay.
And so it spawned out of me trying to connect with other designers and learn, you know, just like have people on. And I really felt like, and I still think I'm kind of developing exactly who my audience is. And I don't know if that's good or bad. Like, I think it probably would have been better had I been really, you know,
Super
laser focused.
focused, right.
But I also think that's just not the way God worked with me.
Right.
It's become that, and I've been able to. I think that my audience is usually people who are freelancing, either full time or part time.
Right.
And the people who are part time would like to go full time, probably,
Right.
but they're juggling this kind of full time job and then this other, and running a business, starting a business. So it's an entrepreneur. And so my heart kind of goes out to entrepreneurs for sure. So I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did. You did. You did. So when you're not running design research, what are you doing? You hinted on teaching a little. Kind of
So,
elaborate on that.
I teach full time at the University of South Alabama. I
Okay.
teach graphic design, and then this year I'm the interim chairperson, but God did not call me into that role. I mean, He did for the year, but I did not feel called to apply for that position. And
Right.
so I am going to go back to being grad coordinator. And we have a new graduate program. It's an MFA in Creative Technologies and Practice. And so it's kind of a new sort of degree, but it's a terminal degree in art.
Okay.
So that's what I do this year. I'm here every day. Next year I'll just be here 3 days a week, just like normal. And then I run my company called Little Bird Communications.
Talk about that a little, Little Bird Communications.
So, I started it in 2002, maybe. And I really believe when you start, you kind of have to. For me, I was doing a lot of print-based stuff. I had done some web stuff when I back in like 97, just freelancing, and when I was in Denver, and it was new, you know, then. And so I was okay. It was kind of like crackers without salt, you know,
Gotcha.
like
Yeah,
it
gotcha.
wasn't what I really
Wanted
liked.
to do, yeah.
Right. If I had to do it, I could do it, but it wasn't really where I was. I don't know. It wasn't super fun for me. And I really played a lot when I was in Denver. I snowboarded and I worked for a magazine. So I really fell in love with publication design. But then when I got here, I just started taking, you know, doing some pro bono work to just get my name out there. And then one of my clients moved. I had done something for him, one thing, for like a pro bono for the Alabama Clay Conference. And then he moved to California to go run his family's retirement residence. And from that, I had a maybe 12-year client.
Wow.
And so it started a really long relationship. And I ended up doing another retirement residence in San Francisco or in that Cupertino area. And then I ended up doing one in Colorado, even
Wow.
after I moved. So not that I'm like specializing in retirement residence, but I have done three websites, and then I do those a lot of other work for those clients, print work and
Right,
things
right,
like
right, right.
And so Little Bird is still kind of like Design Recharge. It's always focusing. And so I think what I'm doing now is I think I focus in on helping small to medium-sized companies, either startups that are completely fresh, starting new, and I do branding to web to any print materials that they would need, or taking a medium-sized company who's already has something established and then kind of revamping it or clarifying the message. I don't know if you've ever heard of StoryBrand.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
So that's Donald Miller. He wrote a ton of Christian books back in early 2000s, late 90s maybe. And now he has this company called StoryBrand in Nashville. I mean, I don't know him, but I'd really like to know him because he's super smart. And he talks about, you know, clarifying your message. And so it's
Right.
like things that I've learned business-wise just really are in tune with that. And then what I do is I make it the visual and the, so I've been doing more web lately, and I feel like it's, the more I do it, the better I get.
Right.
And I don't do all my programming. So if there's something specific, like I end up bugging my friend Brian White a lot. I'm like, I don't know how to do this, because we use the same builder.
Right.
We both use the Divi, and I don't know if you've heard of that one. It's by Elegant Themes.
I've never used that.
So it's a drag and drop. So, but there's a lot of modules and there's a lot of functionality. And then you can add functionality if you have a programmer. And then I've met programmers at Creative South, and so then I use them to do any heavy hitting, or
right.
if I need something that I can't do, I ask Brian or somebody else to do for me. So that's kind of where the direction is. I'm not going to turn somebody away, but I am doing a little bit more business
development, kind of like a business development, clearing up the message, stuff like that. I get you.
A little bit more consulting, which is fun to me. And then at some point, I feel like God has been trying to get me to have an employee. And so that's kind of the next step. But it is very fear-inducing for me, because then somebody else is relying on you.
Right.
And
yeah, which is true. It's like you have another child.
Yeah. Because so, and I've done interns, and I think that works out really good for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't – I need something that's going to be more – I know that I'm – I know to grow and to scale, I have to get somebody else that I'm teaching how to do some of these other things, so that that's I can true. Spend my time doing, getting in business or doing some of the other things. And I just see kind of where I think I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And then I know that I can't get there unless I take a huge step of faith and hire somebody. Yeah.
Okay. So like, what are like the two things you use to grow? Because like, I know you said 30,000, like, but how long it took to get to 30,000?
To get to making $30,000
yeah.
a year?
Yeah. Extra.
Extra. Well, we don't make that much as professors, you know? So it's like I was making like 40. I think I started out at 40, because I had gotten to 40 in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And what they offered me 3 years later was, you know, I think a little less or right at what I was making in Denver. And I was like, man, this is a pay cut. but I also thought, wow, you know, I have so much time. I can actually make some
focus
work.
On your stuff. Yeah.
I don't know what year that was. So I started here in 2003. Maybe about 2008.
Okay.
So about 5 years.
Yeah. Well, makes sense.
But I mean, I was also really working it. I didn't have any kids. And so I could dedicate a lot more time.
Yeah.
Yeah. To growing that. And I also wasn't limited to, being in a certain area that I had to do work in
specific area.
Right. Like, think about, as a designer, we have this amazing ability to work across the pond if we wanted Fraser Davidson works for the NFL, does a lot of stuff for that, but he lives in the UK. So it's those things I think that are, I don't know, just amazing. And so I just really pushed, and my husband was also really, we didn't get married, so we were dating, but I would work, and I really liked to work.
Right.
Like,
yeah, he because you're into it.
Right. It didn't feel like work. You know, people will be like, oh, what are you going to do this weekend? I'm like, I'm going to work.
My question is like the balance, because like your regular professor job is a part of what you're actually doing for people. Like, you're teaching people how to do what you're doing for people. Like, for me, like, my regular day job, it's like, we're talking about literally apples and...
Oh, really?
Carrots. It's like night and day.
Oh, no.
Two total different worlds. But what it does for me is it keeps the drive going, because I know that, you know, once I leave that, I still have this fresh drive to get into design. So, like, it's this balance of, what am I trying to say? This balance of having these two different worlds kind of help you get to this next level that you're trying to get to. And, like, say, for example, Frazier, like, he's designing for the NFL right now, but, like, a lot of times what I hear people asking is, like, how did they get to that point? Because, you know, right. That's the thing. That's where it all kind of, you know.
Yeah, and you know what? I've asked people that, too, and I think that's a really interesting question, because I think people need that, those steps. They want to be able to kind of mimic, or here's how it worked for you, let me try it. And you know what it is, I think, really? It's about passion projects. I know Frazier started working in doing stuff for the NFL because he did the American Guide to Football, and he made an animation.
Right, right.
People, he told a story. It was short. It was clever. He spent time doing that, and then he got jobs from that. Right. And I think that's where that passion, like you're talking about, yes. It's this outside passion. I'm going to be doing this, and then it will feed into this.
Right.
And when you're doing two jobs, it's hard. Yeah. And really, you're doing four. You're a dad and a husband, you know? And so it may not be as quick, right. But
just true.
But it is not about quickness. It is about, and I totally believe this, and I have seen this happen, Daryl, people get out of the game because it took too long. And so, man, the preacher was preaching last week, and it was about being in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a couple weeks ago, he was talking about Naomi and Ruth last week. And he said, you know, when you're in that valley, Naomi was Ruth's mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. And and she was alone because her husband died and her two boys died. Ruth's husband died.
Right.
And she told them, go back to your moms, which was totally not the way actually she was supposed to take care of them. And I could only imagine what that was like. Like, right. That would be terrible.
Right.
But Ruth stayed with her. And it wasn't about a certain, I'll be with you for a year and a half.
Right.
You know?
She just did it.
She just did it because she knew it. I think it's Caleb and Joshua. Joshua? Anyway, who were in the desert, and Moses, and those were the only two guys who said, yeah, we can take these people. Mm-hmm. And then all the other people were like, no, no, we need to wait. Mm-hmm. And then God said, okay. I mean, 40 years, they were just roaming.
Roaming around and around.
That is a commitment. Can you imagine 40 years and you're like, okay, well, you're going to work this carrot job for 40 years, and then you're going to do design. You know, but that to me is what it's like. And I think we are in an age of it is automatic.
Yeah,
and if
the,
it doesn't
the
happen,
it's kind of, I don't know what is, it's really hurting people from actually doing something great, because you really need to be thinking long term to really do something great. Really need to be thinking long term, and if you need these one hit sensations, like you'll see people see that and then they try it, and if it doesn't happen the same period of time for them, they kind of like, you know what, I can't bother with this, it didn't work for me,
right? It's somebody was saying it was like the Wild West of typography right now, like anything. Mm-hmm. there's so many opportunities. But that's the internet. The internet has caused us, me and you, to be friends, right?
Right. Which is true.
Because we now have a connection and we've seen each other.
Right.
Like we're not,
which is true.
But it feels like we're friends,
right,
you know?
Right, right.
And I just think it breaks down barriers, but that means that there's a ton of opportunities, one for businesses and two for relationships and which customers, right?
Right.
So as a designer and as an entrepreneur, I have to be able to see it from my client's perspective, meaning I have to be able to say, hey, you know what? I don't think this is the best use of your money. Let's try this. Or why don't you try this to get, and you know what? Marketing is always changing. What worked for some people 2 years ago or 6 years ago when, or 7 years ago now, I guess, 5 years ago when YouTube was just starting, if you got on YouTube in 2006, it was golden. You would probably get something. But now it's so
saturated,
flooded. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so saturated. But it doesn't mean that you can't. Right. It just means that you have to do something different, and you have to stay in it longer. And I do believe that it's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
That's very true. That's very true. That's very true. So, on that note, like in this whole process of building, design, recharge, and building, you know, your design career, what would you say, like, some of the struggles that Diane experiences going through this process?
Man, there are times when I am ready to quit design. I mean, there have been times that because I made a commitment, that was the only thing I was holding on to, because it would have been a lot easier just to stop. Mm-hmm. I know that in the very beginning, it was really hard for me. And so I actually hired someone, a friend who was in Bible study with me, to do my setups. Like she would send out an email to the person that I was interested in, and then she would do the scheduling. Well, she didn't really work out. It's not that she wasn't good. She was super smart. She was just too busy, and it wasn't a priority for her. Mm-hmm. So then I was talking to one of my alumni, and she was a mom, and she was like, well, I could help you. And I was like, well, I'm going to pay you. And that's Ashley. And Ashley's been helping me for like 3 years.
Wow.
And she's been a godsend. I mean, absolute amazing. But she's a designer, so she's interested, possibly, maybe, is why. And I also think she feels like she was called to help me. And I'm so, so thankful for that. But she's a great photographer. She's also a great designer, and she's a great mom, you know, but she knows that being a mom is what she's supposed to do right now. And so she does some freelance, but she's not really focused on freelance. And she has it down to a science, so that she's like, oh, Diane, it takes me 15 minutes a week. That's it. I'm like, really? I'm like, I was never that good. Like it didn't take me 15 minutes. Like she is amazing. And I'm like, that's terrific. But I have my schedule. And for me, I never worry about it. I never worry if my emails are getting out. So there was a huge trust factor finding someone to do that. And I remember when I interviewed Dustin Lee for the first time from Retro Supply, he asked her, he's like, how do you know Diane? I think he was trying to steal her away. And I said, she told me that. And then he told me that. And I said, Dustin, do you want me to find somebody for you? And he's like, yes. And so I said, okay. And so I found one of my students who was just graduating. She was going to be moving to Pittsburgh, and she wasn't sure. Her husband was going to be working, and she wasn't sure what, the job.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, and she wanted to be a designer, but she didn't. She still wanted to make some money. And so it was like part-time. And she worked for Dustin and loved it. And she now works at American Eagle. And like, cool. Not at a store, like selling clothes. Like she works
the design. Yeah, the design for American Eagle. That's cool. Yeah.
It's terrific. And she got to go like to Washington, and she had dinner with Dustin and his family. And like, that's just a cool thing. And then one of my students from last year, I introduced her to Dustin because I knew Katie was going to be leaving. And I introduced Suzanne to Dustin, and I said, I think Suzanne would be a great fit for you. She's a great writer. She's a great designer. She's easy to get along with, and she's a really big self-starter. Because I really think that that's the other thing. So she part-times for an agency here in Mobile, and then works at the other part-time for Dustin. And I think getting to that point, that just what Ashley does for me, like she's incredibly critical to my business as Design Recharge. I mean, and to know that I can just be like, Ashley, pray for me, you know, like
having that's insane.
That it's super, super, super helpful. But so Ashley's critical, but it's released. I don't even think about what Ashley has to do. All I do is give Ashley some names or tell people, hey, I'm going to get Ashley to contact you. And that's it. Like, she does everything else, everything in that I don't worry about it. And I feel like it's hard. It's hard doing everything, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, it is.
So having that person that can get it down to a science. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I worked out like an email, like we wrote the email and then she revises it when we change platforms. And, but I've never had anybody skip out on me. Never had anybody. She sets up the test and she sets up the real show. And it's like such clean air to have her. Just knowing that. Because it's a lot. It's a lot to have to do. I don't know how she does it in 15 minutes a week, but she does it in 15 minutes a week. I mean, it's automated, you know?
Right. So are you still using Blab?
No. So Blab went under.
It did?
Well, as far as I know, I was having trouble. It was last August. I had Dustin, or July. I had Dustin back on. And we couldn't log in. And it was something was wrong. Like, I have no idea really what the issue was. Mm-hmm. But they were having trouble and their tech support was gone. So I started using this thing called Zoom, which I had to pay for, which again, you know, it's about $500 a year. And mm-hmm. so you pay just up front. And I mean, that was like, okay, this is a commitment, you know?
Right.
But you asked me earlier what I do to recharge. And I think I just read a lot. Mm-hmm. I listen to a lot of podcasts and I just am always trying to learn, because I think in design, if you're not learning, you're going to be out, because mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to maintain.
Which is true. So do you still do like the live audience?
Yeah. So that was super important to me. Mm-hmm. So that happened from Spreecast. So I went from Spreecast to then Spreecast started charging, and I was like, oh my goodness, I had to pay $50 a month to even have my old episodes up. So I was like, forget this. And so I found my friend Amy does therapy online. She's actually in Atlanta. And she does therapy in Atlanta also, but she does some mommy things and parenting classes and stuff. And sometimes, you know, the best way to do something like that is to make it so it's convenient for the parents.
And
so,
right.
So it was like brilliant, I think. So she adds these private rooms, with on the internet, through, she did Google. What was it?
Was it Google Hangout?
It used Google Hangout technology. It was called Webinar Jam. And it was like maybe $300 a year, but way better than what Spreecast was charging. And then I found Blab. My friend Mitch Jackson is a attorney in Orange County, California, who I met through Spreecast. And he would always have like Seth Godin and Gary Vaynerchuk and all these like big social media people on his show. And then, and he's so nice, you know, he's like, Diane, when are we going to do another design recharge? I'm like, really? Really? And I'm like, anytime, you know, I mean, he's like trying cases, and then Wednesday he'll do something with me, and I do need to get him back on, to be honest, because it's just nice to have that perspective. And he's really just a great entrepreneur. Anyway, so he was on Blab, and I was like, you know, I'm going to try this. And then I did, and everybody loved it. It was just like Spreecast was in the beginning, but it had that room. You go in, you could have multiple people on at the same time, face to face.
I'm familiar with it.
And then you could have the chat going on, which the only thing I didn't like was that you couldn't see the pictures. It's like you had to kind of memorize people's
who the names are.
Yeah. And so for visual people, it wasn't as good, but even in the Webinar Jam, it had the chat. So that was always super important to me to have that live. Mm-hmm. One, I didn't want to edit. So I didn't have time for editing.
Right.
And so
I know editing is crazy.
Oh my goodness. When I edit for clients, like I'm editing down something or I make a how-to video, because I teach my clients how to update their websites and things like that. And when I'm doing videos or compilations or Facebook ads that are videos for clients, it's a ton of time in editing.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And so I just didn't have the time. So live was really important. And so we went went from there when Blab died. And maybe it's back, but when Blab died, I mean, we couldn't log in. People couldn't log in. People couldn't get on. So I was like, Dustin, we're going to do a different platform. And I was kind of hating it that it was Dustin's episode that we had to go to the new platform, which was Zoom, which I found again. My friend Amy Bryant in Atlanta, she told me about Webinar Jam. And then it just had issues. Like, there were just technical issues. People would drop. Like, I'd be like, oh, goodness, we've lost, you know, Daryl. Oh, we'll be waiting for him to log back in, you know. And it was just, so I've never had any problems with Zoom. And, but it is, it's a smaller audience. So it's about $500 a year. And I pay for 100 people to come on. Okay. So 50 people is free, but they're all going to be the same size. And they're all going to be able to see each other. So it's like a real meeting. And so that's not what I wanted. I knew I needed the webinar part. But they have good customer service. They're actually based in Denver. And so that was cool to me. And they do have good customer support. I had used something else with other, like with clients called Join Me, join.me. And I paid for that for many years just because it was a good like screen share, but the audio wouldn't work for me.
Gotcha.
So anyway, I could have probably figured out that. I just quit that one because they recharge, you know, they charge you by the year, and it was like $328. And I was like, I don't have $328 to use something that I don't use very much. I can just use Zoom. And so they said, you could have called our technical support. And I was like, well, I got something else.
That's cool. That's cool. So Zoom, it has like a login system and all of that stuff where people just kind of go on and join.
Yep, so, and you can do it on your phone or a tablet, so it's not, you know, you don't have to be hardwired in, you don't have to be on a computer, which was something else that was important, because a lot of people would be like, well, can I just do this on while I'm, you know, driving, which hopefully they're not, like, looking at me while they're driving, but listening, maybe.
Well, but, see, the thing is, like, with what I use, because I use a program that records the Skype calls.
What are you using? I'll call recorder?
I'm not sure. I gotta let you know. But okay. It might be. You've heard of that?
Mm-hmm. I have that one too.
Okay. But sometimes the issue I run is like the person I'm interviewing don't have to be in front of a computer, but I do.
Oh, right.
Right. So that's sometimes like if I'm on the road and I want to do an interview, I have to actually literally wait till I get in front of a computer. So that's some of the issues, but I mean, it's a growing pain.
It is. And I think you just got to find what works for you and what's important. And for me, the live was important. You should also talk to Adam Martin when you come and Jason Frostholm for the Creative South podcast. But there are a lot of other podcasters and Masters of One. They also love Jesus, all three of them. And so that would be cool. I can introduce you to them too. They're going to be doing live podcasts. That's what they did last year. They didn't go to any sessions. They just did their podcast and they would interview people. Mm-hmm. So it just gives you another perspective, but those guys are awesome.
I use right now my podcast is through SoundCloud.
Me too.
Right. So this has been a blessing. Like, you have no idea. This has been a blessing.
Well, it's been a huge honor for me. So thank you so much for asking me.
All right. You have a great evening.
Okay. You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye. See you in April.
All right.